Okay. So again, I wanted to start tonight with just a kind of a check-in and see how it's been going. If you have any comments or questions about your experience during the week or any thoughts that arose about what we talked about last week, you'd like to ask questions about anything at all. Did anybody try the exercises, seeing if you could ride out an emotion, playing with that? It's hard. It's hard. What did you experience?
Well, it just stays there. I mean, it doesn't seem to move.
So you just noticed that it stayed for a long time. But are you experiencing it now?
No.
So it disappeared at some point. Yeah, that's why I think I suggested something simple or small, like a craving for a candy bar, as opposed to your major life issues. those are more challenging. So yeah, sometimes the big ones, they kind of pull in a lot of different emotions. You know, it's not a simple single emotion. There's a kind of a whole complex of things that come together with a lot of different bases and things that we're springing off of. They trigger each other. So some of these can be really, really challenging. And just knowing that you're feeling it, or feeling confusion, or feeling lots of stuff, you know, you could just notice that you're feeling lots of things, lots of emotions, without really necessarily needing to identify all the different pieces. Yeah. It's really helpful to name it. If it's obvious to you.
Yeah.
Because that what that does is that strengthens the capacity of the mind to know what's happening while it's happening. So I was just talking to someone right before the class about how there's lots of different kinds of awareness. You know, there's the kind of awareness where we're completely lost in our thoughts, and you know, there's awareness going on, but we're not really aware of what's happening while it's happening. And then we start to cultivate that awareness of what's happening while it's happening, and with that comes a sense of observing the experience, kind of like we're separated from the experience, like we're witnessing the experience. And that is a really helpful type of awareness to start to cultivate, because it really helps us to disidentify with what we're looking at. So we kind of become more identified in a sense with the witnesser or the observer, as opposed to identifying with the emotion. Because there's always the two things going on. There's the knowing of the object and there's the object itself. And if we can bring our attention a little more to the side of the knowing, it can really help to pull us out of all that clinging and attachment into the stickiness of the emotion. So, you know, beyond that place, there is a place where the awareness and the know and the object seem to be happening simultaneously. There's not a distinction between the awareness and the knowing. There's no real observer. All there is experience arising and being known all at the same time, and there's no one knowing it. So it's a kind of a different level or depth of awareness, that type of awareness. And it's pretty rare. I mean, even after all these years of practice, I can get into that state occasionally, usually on quite a deep retreat. So it's not something, at least for me, it's not something that happens all the time. I spend a lot of time in that witnessing kind of space. It's a very, very skillful space to cultivate. It really helps us to disidentify. Any other comments? Yeah.
So at our level of learning,
Well, I think it really depends. It's very individual. And it really depends on where your energy is drawn. You know, if you're really feeling like when I first started the practice, I was pulled into the practice by anger. I was overwhelmed with anger, and it was ruling my life, and it was ruining my life. And so I really made the anger a focus of my practice, a lot of my, especially my daily practice. So, you know, it really depends on where your energy is drawn. I particularly found it helpful to work with the anger in my daily practice, observing it as it arose during my day. But actually, during my sitting meditation, I just forgot about it. I just really focused on the breathing. So in terms of cultivating the kind of skills of the balance of mind and cultivating the ability to concentrate, if there are particular times of day where your mind is calmer, it's definitely helpful to try to practice during those times. But you can get a lot out of trying to be with chaos, you know, just knowing chaos is happening. So it really... experiment and see what happens. So I guess that's just my encouragement, to really experiment. The main thing I would suggest is that if there's a particular time of day where you will sit down to meditate, that's the time to do it, whether or not there's chaos or calm. You know, if there's a time in your day that you know that you can carve out the time to do it, that's a really good time to meditate. If you're waiting for a time of day when you're calm and you're not calm all day, so you don't sit down to meditate all day, that's not so helpful. So, you know, it's really, what's most helpful, I think, is to just pick a time of day and just stick with that time, no matter what's happening. You know, if it's calm, notice the calm, notice the ability to settle, notice the ability to be able to be with your breathing. If you notice that you're swept away by emotion, that's fine, just notice that, so that you begin to see that the practice can take you through all areas of your life. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with a guided meditation. So get yourself into a comfortable, upright, and alert posture as much as possible. See if you can find a balance point of your spine. And let your muscles relax around that balance point. Sometimes you can rock side to side a little bit and find a balance, or front to back, and just find a place where the body naturally comes to balance and see if you can relax around that. And gently close your eyes. And start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths, reminding yourself that your task for the next 20 or so minutes is to be present. See if you can connect with your body and a sense of presence on the in-breath, and let go. Relax on the out-breath. Now you can let your breathing return to normal. And now open to the experience of hearing, to the awareness that hearing is happening. Just take in the sounds. Sounds outside. Sounds in the room. The sound of my voice. Soft sounds. Obvious sounds. Take in the hearing as if you were listening to music. You don't need to work to hear. It just happens by itself. Now bring your attention back into your body and just take in your body as a whole and just see if you can let go of any obvious tension in your body. Within your body, as a part of your body, notice the sensations that let you know that you're breathing. Bring your attention to wherever in your body the sensations of breathing are most obvious to you. And let your attention rest on the rhythm of those sensations. It can be helpful to note in for the in-breath and out for the out-breath, to keep your mind engaged in attending to the sensations. If the mind wanders, recognize that it's wandering. See if you can relax and let go of whatever it is you're thinking about, and gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. For the next 5 minutes of the sitting, I'd like to suggest that you observe only the thought process. For these 5 minutes, see if you can count each thought as it arises. Your thoughts might come as pictures, as sounds, as words, or as both together. See if you can let your mind be like a blank screen or an open space, and wait carefully to count each thought, like a cat at a mouse hole. After noticing and counting a thought, just wait for the next one. Don't let yourself be fooled by them. Some will be very soft whispers, like, "It's quiet in here, isn't it?" Or, "There haven't been many thoughts, have there?" Count each of them. They might hide a bit when you're first watching, but they will come. There's no need to count the counting as a thought. And if you find yourself waking up in the midst of an elaborate story, you can just count that as one thought and go on with this thought game. Yeah, letting go of the thoughts for the last minute of the sitting. Return to the sensations of breathing. See how carefully and thoroughly you can let your awareness rest with the sensations. What did you notice when I asked you to pay attention to your thoughts? Anybody want to share what you noticed?
I found the idea of counting had too much overhead to it. So it required kind of a thread to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea.
So you don't know how many you counted, but were you able to just kind of notice a thought when it arose? Yeah, okay. So that's the main point of it, is to see if you can notice the thought. I too find it hard to keep track. You could just count one, 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 one every time. But what kind of did you notice what your thoughts were like? I mean, what is the predominant nature of your thoughts? Was it like talking to yourself, or hearing something, or seeing an image?
It seemed like it was some things like thinking about where my body positioning wasn't working. So thinking about adjusting to sort of fix my posture.
Well, that's the content. How did that thinking appear in your mind?
It's auditory.
It's auditory. Okay, that's part of the thing about paying attention to the process as opposed to the content, is to notice how the thinking appears in the mind. Because the auditory door is probably the way a lot of you experienced it. How many of you experienced your thoughts as kind of a sound or... Yeah. So you saw pictures. Anybody else see pictures? You saw pictures, yep. Anybody else have them both together? Anybody? Yep. Yep. Anybody have any other kinds of experiences? A thought appearing kind of as just a felt sense in the body, or so we had somebody experiencing like that. Anything else? Any, yeah?
Uh-huh. Anger, I guess, because it was too long. I felt like you were too.
Well, I'll just say right now that this is strictly an exercise to kind of give you a sense of what it means to observe the process of thinking as distinct from the contents of thinking. So this is not the way you would practice with thoughts. So, you know, it can be kind of difficult to do this type of exercise. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I thought it was odd. I didn't expect it just to be like a thing. I just had a feeling like a dark thing that was a thought, and then I would just count it, and then another one would come in, and I didn't really know what it was. But it was just, I know that was going to be a thing.
Ah, yeah. So you kind of noticed that there was an intention to think,
yeah.
Almost before the thought came. Yeah. Yeah, when mindfulness gets pretty quiet and pretty clear, you can notice that intention to think before the thought actually happens. And it's quite amazing because if you notice the intention to think, what usually happens is that the intention just dies away and you never will know what that thought would have been. It's gone now and it won't ever arise. It's kind of mysterious when you start noticing that. There's kind of this, I felt when I first started feeling it felt like bubbles. Like this, you know how balloons, cartoon balloons are bubbles. You know, it felt like the bubble was appearing before there were any words in it. It just felt like this bubble. And then noticing that bubble, it just would disappear. So yeah, that can definitely happen. Any other? Yeah.
Yeah, counting was interesting because at the beginning it created a void of waiting for the thoughts to come, which was interesting because it kept the mind quieter.
Yes, that's true. I mean, if we direct our attention to the thinking process, it's like it goes away for a while and you get a sense of what it's like not to have the thinking happening. So, yeah, it's an interesting trick sometimes to do that. Yeah.
I became aware of actually one of my thoughts was how busy my mind is. I found it a relief to return to the breathing. Enough already.
Yeah. I mean, it can be quite stunning when you start to count to see just, my gosh, you know, I had no idea I was thinking so many thoughts in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, yep. And another one, and another one, and another one, yeah. Did anyone have the experience of seeing the thought and then noticing it kind of disappeared as soon as you noticed it? Yep. That often happens when you start paying attention to thoughts because thoughts are, there's really not much to them. And so when we bring our attention to them, they just kind of vaporize often. So, you can notice that it'll vaporize, but then another one will come in, and that one will get in, and another one, and another one. So, any other comments?
I found sometimes a stream of consciousness. As I recognize now, I'd say, I'm at work now, meaning that I'm sitting right here, but all of a sudden I'm back at work thinking about, like, 9 things that have to be done.
Uh-huh.
And that like, ended. Oh! Okay. No, I'm not at work. Good.
Yes, yeah, that's the recognition, exactly. It's the noticing. I've been thinking, and that noticing itself will tend to vaporize the thought, so that's great.
I was kind of intrigued by just how random the thoughts were.
Mm. Yes, yeah. And another thing, you know, what happens a lot, there seems to be layers in the mind as the mind settles. So there's a kind of a way that the mind is used to thinking in our normal everyday mode of thinking. And that's, you know, it tends to be more linear and it is, you know, based one thought off of another. You know, it can kind of make some sense to us in our normal consciousness. But as we start to get a little more quiet, we start to see more of that random nature of the thinking. You know, just a thought will appear and, you know, it just doesn't seem to be based on anything. It's just, and it can almost get to this place where it's like dream images, you know, even as you get even quieter and quieter. And it can seem like we go through these phases, like we start out with this kind of normal pattern of the way we think and we're very familiar with that. And that's what we're noticing in our meditation. And then it seems to get quiet. And then we start seeing all these other kinds of thoughts, these random thoughts, or if we're used to hearing the auditory thoughts, we may start seeing visual images, or we may start hearing it as if somebody's playing a radio and we're listening to some conversation we don't know anything about. So, you know, these thoughts at that point, and we'll start to think, well, what's wrong? You know, I was so much quieter a little while ago. But it's like we've dropped into a new level of the mind. And it's got its own way of thinking, and we're not used to that, so it gets kind of disorienting, and we feel like we've gone backwards because suddenly there's all these thoughts appearing in the mind. But it tends to not be the same type of thought. You may feel like you're just experiencing dream images or just random thoughts. And then it can get even quieter and quieter until it just feels like there's these little just nonsensical, and it's some kind of a thought, but there's no words to it. It's just like this alien voices, you know. So the thoughts seem to have they're very deeply in the mind, and you know, you'll go through these places of quiet, and then a new kind of thinking will happen, and you'll tend to start wandering off of that, and then you'll start to recognize that, you'll get more comfortable with it, and you'll go down to the next level. So just know that that kind of pattern does happen with paying attention to our thinking, and as we start to get a little quieter and quieter. What do you mean by type of thoughts?
I'm seeing the first one that came. Let's say, like a person asked me something, and it was a very peculiar question. Well, my thoughts are going, why? Trying to find out what the source of why that question, which is such a waste of time. But I do that a lot, trying to mind read instead of that is the question.
So you're talking about that you noticed that you're thinking why thoughts?
Yeah.
Yes, that is a technique. I hadn't actually mentioned that yet, but it is a technique, and I may mention it again, but I'll mention it now, that one of the ways to support paying attention to thoughts, especially if they start grabbing you, you know, if you find a particular theme appearing over and over again, to notice the type of thinking it is, planning, remembering, fantasizing, judging, asking why, you know, just notice the type of thought it is and see if you can just recognize that repeatedly, just as a kind of a way of cultivating that witness, essentially, so you're not quite so caught up in the actual contents of planning and remembering and fantasizing, but that you know right now planning is happening. Yeah.
Well, I noticed that I didn't have any thoughts, and then a sound would pull my attention. Then I'd have thoughts about that sound. Like, mm-hmm. What it was, you know, if I heard a crick in the room, I'd go right to his foot, you know, moving on the floor.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yes, that's exactly right. Oh, you don't avoid it. You just notice it. That's the practice. You just notice what's happening. You did it. It's just exactly right. You notice that you're paying attention, and you notice the sound. You notice the thoughts that arise off the sound. Very often, I notice that if a sound arises, I will create a visual image in my mind. When I was meditating at IMS, we were right on a pretty major road. You know. Cars go by at like 40 miles an hour. So, you know, I'd be sitting there meditating and I'd hear a car go by and I'd suddenly picture myself being on the road. You know, there I'd be driving down Pleasant Street. I was like, wow, that was fast. You know, it just grabs you. So, yeah, you just notice. You just know, you wake up where you are. Oh, okay. Image. Another way to notice the visual images, if you are a visual person, is to note seeing. When you see an image, because that is that's the kind of experience you're having. You're having a seeing experience. You're seeing a foot. So you can notice seeing. You don't have to get involved in the fact that it's a foot, or whether it's a man's foot or a woman's foot, or whether there's shoes on the foot, or you know, you can go on to all kinds of stories about it. So. Before we go on to discuss the thoughts in more detail, I'd like to just review again the basic instructions for the mindfulness practice. After tonight, we will have covered the full range of objects that will be appearing to you, the mind objects, the thoughts, the emotions, the bodily sensations. So we've gotten some exposure to all of the different objects. So in the mindfulness practice, we usually start with cultivating our attention on a particular object, because if we were to try to just sit down and be aware of everything, just whatever is happening in the moment. Often we would get lost when we first sit down because the mind hasn't had a chance to kind of gather and collect and settle a little bit. It needs to have that, it has to have a modicum of settledness in order to be able to just sit here and notice, oh, hearing, feeling, smelling, pressure, vibration, to kind of just feel whatever's happening. We need to have a kind of a modicum of concentration. So it helps to begin our sitting for, say, five or 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, of really cultivating the awareness of the breathing. You could also focus on sounds if you find sounds more too settling for you. If it's really settling for you to let your awareness open to sounds, you could use that as your primary object to settle the mind into concentration. But choose one object, choose the breath, choose sounds, and let your attention rest with that. Whenever you find your attention drawn away from it, whether it's to a sound or to an emotion or a thought, as best as you can for the first part of the sitting, see if you can let go of it and come back to the sensations of breathing. That will help to cultivate the concentration, which is really supportive for the mindfulness practice. And then after that 10 minutes or so, you can leave yourself at the awareness of the breathing predominantly. But if you find yourself in a situation where there's kind of a tension or a pull, that another object is competing for your attention, or you just find your awareness on an object, like with a loud sound that happens, you're just kind of automatically there. Let yourself pay attention to the experience that's arisen. You don't need to try to come back to the breath. You can just let yourself attend to that, whether it's emotion or body sensation or thinking. Now, with thinking, often we'll end up just kind of drifting away from our experience. You know, it's not an active state of thinking. It's just kind of a drifting thinking. It's not particularly directed or engaging us. It's just kind of a habitual mind of random thoughts. And if you wake up in that kind of a situation, there's no need to stay there. If it's easy enough, let go of that and just come back to the breathing. I would recommend only bringing mindful attention to the thinking process if you find yourself repeatedly pulled back into a particular kind of thinking. And I'll start talking in a few minutes about ways in which we can really engage in observing the thinking process. So there's no need to look for thoughts as we did in the guided meditation. Really, we rest with the breathing, we pay attention to that. If it becomes difficult to stay with the breathing, we let our attention go to another object, a bodily sensation, emotion. When that becomes less compelling or it disappears, come back again to the sensations of breathing. You can use the breathing kind of as an anchor. When not much else is happening, you just come back to the sensations of breathing. Does that make sense? Is that clear? If it's confusing at all when you're doing the meditation practice, you can just stick with bodily sensations. For the first few years of my practice, I found it kind of difficult to actually pay attention to thoughts and pay attention to emotions, but I found it pretty straightforward to, whenever anything was happening, like if an emotion was happening, to just feel in the body what's happening in the body. And that was my main practice for a number of years, to really just be with the body and the breathing. It's very, very grounding practice to just really spend time cultivating the awareness of what it feels like to be in a body, that embodied sense of experience.